Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Let's Talk Tefl podcast. I'm Jackie, and joining me is Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, Jackie. How are
So,
you?
good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Good. I'm fine. Thank you. So, it's a little bit of a miracle that Jen and I actually found this time to talk together. Jen is kind of a jet setter, traveling all around the world, doing all the things. So, Jen squeezed this in between adventures. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm happy it all worked out.
Me too. I will clarify that my last adventure was going to rural Mississippi for a month to help my dad while he convalesced from surgery. So, not super high on the envy stakes, I would say.
Maybe so, maybe
Yeah,
so. That's
the
true.
internet there is not up to recording anything with another person.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Was it fast enough to like watch Netflix, or was
Oh
it
no,
slow?
no, it is very reminiscent of early AOL dial-up speeds. It's so bad.
Oh no. So
Yeah.
painful.
It
Oh.
yes, extremely painful.
Well, I'm happy you made it through that. I think I would struggle to survive, probably.
I was, yes, for sure.
You'd have to like go to the library and get some books or something, which is fine, I guess, for a while. But yeah. All right. So we are going to talk about teaching business English. So business English is something we've never actually talked about on this podcast, despite having more than 50 episodes now. Yeah, so let's get right into it. So my first super tip for teaching business English is to take advantage of these two websites. So the first one is Business English Pod, and the second one is Breaking News English. So Business English Pod, it has basically everything you could possibly need for teaching business English if you don't want to use a textbook. So we're going to get into that in the next one that Jen is going to talk about. But if you choose not to use a textbook, Business English Pod, it has like dialogues, vocabulary, entire lessons. It has all the things. And there is a paid version and a free version. But I found that like with the free version, I could kind of get enough of what I needed, and just base like lesson plans on these things that I found on that website. And then Breaking News English is good for obviously like current events that are related to the business world. So I would often find articles on that website, and then they always have lesson plans that go along with them. I didn't entirely just use those lesson plans, but I would use some of the ideas from those lesson plans and kind of like make my own lessons. Kind of around that. So one that I did was like youth unemployment in Korea. I did one about there was some story years ago about like it was one of the big tech companies investing in like green energy, and they wanted to run their whole company off of green energy. So I did a whole lesson plan on that. I did one about like taxes on smoking or cigarettes. Yeah, and then I used those lesson plans actually over and over and over again for a million different classes. And yeah, it was great. So those two websites, Business English Pod, Breaking News English, are the go-to sites for teaching business English.
Yeah, and I'll just add, Breaking News English is good for all levels. They have lots of different levels. Maybe not that great for very young learners or young learners. It would depend on your own students. But yeah, have a look there because the archives are incredible. All the activities or the stories that Jackie just talked about, they will still be there somewhere. And yeah,
Yes.
there are so many activities. It's way too much unless you had like a 3 hour class and absolutely nothing to do to fill it. In that case, you might get through all of the activities, but otherwise, yeah, definitely pick and choose and adapt to your students, regardless of if it's business English or not. It's the best.
Exactly. It is the ultimate site. I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast already knows about it, but if you don't, we've just given you the best gift of like
Yes.
lesson planning gold. All right,
Yes.
Jen. So number two, we have to textbook or not to textbook. That is the question. So what do you think about that, Jen?
So I think if you are teaching a class for a school, obviously you may be a bit more constrained or a lot more constrained according to the school. I've only taught business English on limited occasions because I didn't particularly enjoy it. But in all of those occasions, the textbooks were wildly inadequate and required. And also, the companies that I worked for only cared about the money to. I mean, there was no other way to look at it. They would send me to different locations, and every person from at that location, which was business offices, so they would send me to business offices, and every person that the company was paying for to learn English was sent in to learn together. And it didn't matter if, they were high beginner or advanced. They were in the one class together, and we would have just sort of a general adult English textbook in every case. So if you're able to avoid that, either by selecting which students study together or whether or not you use the supplied textbook, I would say there are so many industry-specific ESL textbooks out there that if you want to use a textbook and you can choose your textbook, have a look, do a quick Google search for the industry that the students work in and see if there is a textbook available. And you might be surprised. I mean, you can get, I know a construction contract business English textbook, for example, really, really niche stuff. And that can go a long way to making sure that your students are studying very specifically targeted language that they need for their work.
Yeah, if you're looking for just like a general business English textbook as well, there's a series called Market Leader. And it's okay. I mean, I've used it a couple of different levels of that book in various classes, and I didn't really love it because the case studies and everything, like, they were well done. Like, it contained, I don't know, they were kind of interesting and contained like all the, target grammar and vocabulary and whatever, but they were often very long. So like, if you have, say, a 40-minute class or a 1-hour class, the huge chunk of that time would be taken up having students like read the case study, and there was no time left for anything else. And of course, I tried to assign the case studies reading for homework, but often students wouldn't do that. So they'd come to class and then I tried to have a discussion, but nobody had read it. And it was kind of just, it was a bit of a mess. So I think if you have like longer classes, like 3-hour classes or something, I think Market Leader can work better. If you have shorter classes, though, it was a bit of a struggle. So I generally prefer to design my own lesson plans with a bit of a shorter reading or shorter listening. I don't like taking up the entire class, just having students silently read, because they can do that if they're motivated at home. They don't need to come to my class to just silently read in English, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah, I will second that getting adults to do homework is even more difficult than getting students of any other age to do homework, just because they have full lives outside. They've got work commitments and family commitments and everything else. And so yeah, it's pretty much impossible, I think, to get business students to do homework. And I will just add on to what Jackie just said about not having them read silently in class. I think you possibly could structure a class that way where basically they just need to block out the time in their calendar and they're all doing it at the same time. But generally speaking, if you've got one-on-one students especially,
Oh, it's painful, yeah.
would not advise doing that. But yeah,
Because
for example,
one-on-one, they want to be interacting with the teacher. That's
yes.
what they're paying for sure, not to just sit and read silently.
Exactly. Yeah. Although my mom teaches ESL as well in the US, and there is always a class going on at the same time that she teaches that but she doesn't teach. And as far as she can tell, they all just go and study vocabulary silently. It's just because they wouldn't do it at home.
Wow.
Yeah. guess
What
nice
teacher
work
do
if you
just
can
like
get
cruise on Facebook
it.
or I guess seems weird, but not my style.
I think that would be like teaching detention or something. I don't think that would be for me.
No, it's not for me either. I just would like I get well, it's not all about me, but like when students are doing a thing for 5 or 10 minutes, like writing or whatever, I just am like, after 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to talk to you again. Like I get bored and like I want to be like doing something. I don't know. Yeah, I can't imagine designing class after class of me just like actually doing very, very little. Yeah, doesn't seem fun. Not that teaching always has to be fun, but it doesn't seem interesting to me at all to like have that as my basic plan for
No, not at
classes.
all. I would just be looking at my stack of marking and be thinking to myself, how rude would it be if I just got stuck into that?
It's true. Yes. Yeah. All right. So the third idea that we have is to prepare an English resume and cover letter. So this is a little bit, it kind of depends where you're teaching and who you're teaching. If you're teaching like say a company where students already have jobs at that company, then I wouldn't necessarily be doing this because it's like a bit weird to be preparing them to get some job at some other company, you know what I mean? But if you're
Yes,
teaching,
when their employer is paying for the class.
yeah, like here, make your English resume for a job in another country or whatever. But if you're teaching university students or yeah, like in a situation like that, it can actually be really, really helpful for students to have an English resume and cover letter. Even like when I was in Korea, some Korean employers would ask for an English resume. So yeah, and students, it's kind of like this, I don't know, like it's a rough road to go all by yourself to figure that out. It can be really difficult to do. So I really like to like show students some examples of you know, like good resumes in English, like simple business resumes, and then we like discuss that together in the sections, and then I kind of send students away, and for homework they have to make their own resume, and then they come back to class and we do some feedback, and yeah, then I usually will get students to submit it to me for some like final marks, like 5% of their final mark or something, and yeah, and I think it's just a solid thing for them to have. And of course, your resume changes as you get more experience and more jobs and stuff. But then I think, like, at least even in 5 years from now, they kind of have this solid resume that they can take and kind of just adapt a little bit. And then, yeah, they can do with it whatever they need to do. And same with the cover letter, looking at some examples. And then I kind of get students to come up with, like, they choose a specific job that they're applying for. Like, say, I want to work in this department at Samsung. So they kind of just pretend that they're writing a cover letter for that situation. Yeah.
Yep, and I would
So
just
a
add to
little bit.
that if you're teaching overseas, and your students do have a specific country that they are actually targeting, and it's not just a hypothetical exercise, then work with them on the specific style of that country. Because, for example, a U.S. resume and a British CV are really different.
Yes.
So yeah, that just needs to be taken into account. But if you are in your own country, teaching students who are learning English there, then yeah, just the standard style of resume that you're used to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, take into account the situation for sure.
Yeah, because it's not just a matter of language, you know, when you're like, they are not just translating the CV or the resume from their own language into English. Because, like, for example, in Korea, if you looked at a Korean resume, some of the stuff they put in there would be completely illegal in the US, and I'm sure Canada and other countries as well. You know, like, they have to put information about their parents and their marital status and, you know, all sorts of things in addition to a photo. And I think a lot of those things would get a CV thrown out in the US just to avoid any potential issues with bias. So,
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's a lot of cultural issues that you can discuss in this situation, for sure. All right, Jen, so your next one is socializing for work. What is that all
yes.
about?
So, we do so many like speaking activities that have to do with just sort of socializing and getting to know our classmates and all that. But socializing for work or in a work setting can be quite different from socializing in a social setting. So just sort of some teaching the students, you know, how people interact in a business environment in the English-speaking world, really. So just role play activities where you are role playing, you know, at a business meeting or role playing at a work function that is, you know, pretends to be a party, but we all know better. Even if there's alcohol, it's still work. And so just modeling for the students how people interact in social environments at work.
Yeah, for sure. And I like to focus on small talk. So, this is kind of an overlooked thing because, like, when you teach business English, you think, oh, negotiations and like contract English and like all these kind of like very serious things. But in reality, a lot of business happens like at lunch and just, you know, like informal chit chat at a meeting or whatever, or before a meeting starts. So this is often something that students are not super confident in. So I really like to focus at least a couple lessons over the course of the semester on small talk and what are appropriate topics, how to kind of start a conversation, how to end a conversation. It's kind of simple stuff, but it's like students may not explicitly have ever taken a lesson or had a lesson on small talk. So even with advanced students, it's worth doing a lesson on that.
Yes, and especially because I know a really popular textbook for students, for adult students for speaking is Taboo. And this is kind of the opposite of taboo. Like anything that would make it into taboo should be miles away from anything re to do with work. So, yeah, teaching students how to talk about the really boring, non-controversial topics and not seem extremely bored.
Yeah, and just in Korea, I mean, it's always, I think it's not, it's just different in Korea than it is, like, say, in Canada, in terms of like questions that you would ask people or things that you would say. Like, you would never ask someone's age. And like in
Yes.
Canada, where in Korea, that's like the first question you ask someone. So just talking about kind of those cultural differences. And I could just see my students were like, really? Like, some of them had never heard that. And of course, that's like, if you've always just been in Korea your whole life, you wouldn't know. Like,
No.
you, so it's worth like talking about those kind of cultural differences between countries, and just so students kind of have that in the back of their mind. Okay, I'm talking to someone from Canada, the US. I'm not going to ask their age, and just kind of like helping them avoid these kind of like social faux pas, I guess, just in the business
Yes.
world.
Yes. And for some of those things, it can carry over into the social world because if they were to go to a party or something, they've moved to a new country and someone has included them in a social, activity. And the first thing they do is ask everyone their age or, oh, you don't have children? Why not?
Have you
You
gained
know?
weight recently? I don't
Yes.
know. Just like some things are just really bad. Yeah. How come you're not married and you're 40? Like, I don't know, whatever. Just like
Yeah.
certain things that you can't say in certain countries. So, yeah, I'm sure I did a million bad things in Korea. So I'm not like picking on Koreans at all. I'm sure I did so many bad things during my time there, unintentionally, just because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yes, I once bought a birthday cake for my boss and I didn't know her age. So I asked the bakery for one candle and they said it's for a baby. And I said, no, it's for my boss. And they sucked in their breaths like, like I would dare put a single candle on a cake for my boss.
Like, you should have known their age for sure.
Yes.
Oh no. Even I feel the badness of that a little bit. Aw, yeah, so it goes. All right, so the last business English thing is an English interview. So yeah, this is something that students are not super confident in, and it's easy actually to do. So it's easy to teach this lesson. So, or like you could even spend a few lessons on it. Just look up like the most common job interview questions, and then I never get students to memorize like set things like what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses. Those are very common questions. Or tell me about a time that you like had a workplace conflict, or something like that, and how you solved it. So I don't get students to memorize answers because then they sound like memorized answers and they sound like little, like English speaking robots, which the interviewer will almost question, do they actually speak English? Why did they memorize all of these answers? So I kind of get students to make like some notes and I kind of coach them on like what is a, someone asks you about your weakness, what's kind of like a good answer to that that's, like it's truthful, but it's not like not disparaging your work abilities or your talents or whatever or something like that. So yeah, and then I put students generally into pairs, get them to practice, and then we would kind of just get together as a class and have like one or two students actually answer that question. We'd kind of get some feedback and was that a good answer? How did it go? And yeah, if you want to like kind of round off this lesson in a really interesting and kind of fun way, you could even, if you're giving like grades, you could do a little English interview for like an English speaking interview for like a midterm or a final exam, something like that. And or if you teach like only one or two students in a smaller private class, you could say, okay, next class, I'm going to come and I'm going to do an English interview for the first 20 minutes of our lesson. So be ready. And they can kind of like prepare however they're going to prepare, and then you can come and actually just be very serious about it and do an actual English interview and then give feedback about how it
Oh, and you could even have them dress for the interview.
went. Yes, exactly. And kind of how they would greet you, I would just say, pretend you don't know me, pretend when I walk in the room it's like I'm the interviewer, and just yeah, how would you greet me, how would you say hello, how would you introduce yourself. So I just, yeah, kind of do it like in a very formal kind of way. All right, Jen, any other business English things? Any tips or tricks? Anything else that we haven't mentioned?
Don't do it. No, I'm
Don't
kidding.
do it. I actually liked business English.
No, I know lots of people who like it. My mother loves to teach the business and academic English students. That's her favorite. But yeah, and also it's probably going to be the most highly paid if you can get some good corporate clients. I just didn't enjoy it.
I don't know. I always just had like really good students who were motivated. And I did mostly like private. I did a couple business English classes at universities, but then I mostly taught like private students who were preparing. They wanted to go work abroad in some other countries. So they were serious about like getting their resume together and like learning English interview skills and just like improving their general English and small talk and all of that. So I guess that I had very motivated students that were already like at a generally high enough level that they could have hope of going to Canada or England or whatever for a job. So that was kind of my context. And yeah, I just
Yeah.
really enjoyed that they were so motivated
Yeah,
and could do.
mine were all chosen by their employer to go learn English, whether they wanted to or not. And it was either the hour before they started work during their lunch hour or the hour when they should have finished work, which
Oh,
also
that's a bit tough.
really helped their motivation.
That does sound a bit grim, to be honest.
Yeah.
I wouldn't love that either. Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's it for business English, I think. I have a book, The Business English Vocabulary Builder. There's like level one and level two. You can find them both on Amazon by Jackie Bolin. And yeah, for all the podcast info, please be sure to check out eslactivity.org/podcast. You can find all the episodes, the show notes, all the things, and of course, leave us a review if you enjoy this podcast. Yeah, leave a review wherever you listen, like Google Play or iTunes, whatever the case might be. All right, Jennifer, any final words? Anywhere people can find you or any of the
Yeah, you can
things?
find me here.
Okay, find Jen at the podcast.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds good. Okay,
Yes,
catch you next time, everyone.
catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.